I want to thank God for his grace and mercy for another day clean, for the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the fellowship. You know, and it's truly a blessing and a gift to have life today. I thank the Lower Mountain area, Highland area, Narcotics Anonymous for asking me to speak. It's truly an honor. I was taught that anytime you ask to speak, you don't supposed to say no. And with that, I'm grateful. This is my first time, actually. You know, I was talking to my sponsor on the way up here, and I was saying, man, you know, like, I don't have a problem with speaking in meetings, but they asked me to speak at a union retreat. What I supposed to say? And he said, well, what's the topic? I said, did you forget? I said, they told me it was Who's a Natty. He said, damn, Dre, he said, just talk about you. You know, and with that, man, like, a topic is Who's a Natty. And for me, man, that was something real hard for me to come to grips with, that I was an addict. You know, I come from I'm originally from Newark, New Jersey, and I come from a family that told me that all I had to do was pray and everything would be all right. My family didn't understand that I suffered from a disease and a disease of addiction. You know, they didn't understand why I continued to display behaviors and I acquired some mannerisms, man, that, like, wasn't normal. You know, I can remember, like, finding out after coming to Narcotics Anonymous that I had a problem way before I ever picked up the drug. And that's one of the things that makes me an addict. You know, when I was younger, I was the kid with the silver spoon in the mouth. Everything was handed to me, and for so long, man, like life always was supposed to show up the way I thought it was supposed to show up. You know, whatever I wanted, you know, the self-centered of this disease, man, like whatever I wanted, man, I expected to have. And like I found out later on that, like, life just doesn't show up that way. It tells brother, as addicts, we are people whose use of any mild or to remove changing substance causes a problem in any area of our life. And I remember, man, like, the first time that my first choice of drug was heroin. And that was the drug that eliminated all the problems of life. I was 14 years old, and I was introduced to heroin, man, and, like, all the pain that went away. You know, I suffered from low self-esteem and self-hatred as a kid, man. I was obese as a kid. You know, I didn't have a father. You know, I was raised by women, man, and, like, I just never felt adequate to other men. And when I used this dope, man, like, I didn't have to feel the emotions and feelings that I was feeling as a kid that I didn't know how to express at the time. Not aware the pitfall that was about to happen, you know, what I broke out into, the allergic reaction. The first high started off with weed, you know, and it was like the recreational thing. You know, you in school and you deal with, you know, teenagers, and that's just what we did, you know. And I thought it was normal. You know, I thought it was normal to smoke weed, cut class, signing for the home group, you know, never go to any other classes, you know, hang out all times of the night, and that was just like normal behavior for me. It wasn't until I came in the program, man, that I found it out that all of these behaviors and mannerisms that I was displaying early on before I picked up the drug, man, like, that was mainly the problem. I was raised by my grandmom, and I can remember at the age of 15, you know, I had my first shot at rehab. My mom's, you know, I was cutting school. I was hanging out all times of the night. I was hanging around strange people. You know, it talks about how, like, we become antisocial. You know, like, I wasn't no longer participating in family events. You know, mainly, like, I hung out in the street, and when I came back, I came in my room, and I isolated in my room, man. That became my world. And my family sent me to treatment. And I remember, like, being in treatment, man, and I went through the motions. You know, I remember they having a H&I that came out there, and these people were telling me that they were addicts and that they had found a new way of life. And the first thing, like, I needed to do was, like, just to stop. And at 15 years old, you know what I'm saying, like, that's far-fetched. Because the first thing that I thought, man, was, like, they was all lying. You know what I mean? Because when you do heroin, you start telling on yourself. So I thought they was all lying, man. I thought it was a whole bunch, you know, it was a joke, man. And, like, I went through the treatment facility, and then I left out, man, and I continued with the life of destruction. You know, this chapter talks a whole lot, man. It talks about the degradation, you know, the dereliction, man, the animalistic, you know, levels of life that we come, man. And that's what I begin to live. You know, I begin stealing out of the house, man. You know, I live with an 86-year-old woman, man, that, like, I used to take out to the cop spot 2:00 in the morning, you know, so I could get just one more. You know, like, anything that wasn't, like, nailed down in the house, man, like I sold just to get one more. You know, I was real arrogant. You know, I was real disrespectful to my parents. You know, I started, like, my sleeping habits had, like, changed. Like, I became a night owl. Like, I would hang out all night, and then I would come in the house, and I would fall asleep during the daytime, and I would sleep all day. You know, like, normally, like, you know, my parents was getting up, and they was going to work, and people was living life, man. And they're like, my life started at 12:00 at night. You know, that's when I woke up. That's when I rise like Dracula. You know, and I continued this life, man, for a long period of time, man, and never could understand that my life was controlled by drugs. I never could understand that the drugs was the problem. You know, I remember, like, justifying and rationalizing the most outrageous nonsense, man. Like, I would go into treatment, I would come out, and I would say, okay, well, I ain't gonna do no dope, I'll just drink. You know, and my reason was liquor was legal. You know, like, if I drank liquor, like, and I drank beer, like, I wouldn't rob, I wouldn't steal, I wouldn't break out in handcuffs, man. And, you know, like, I continue to go back and forth, in and out. You know, never able to experience freedom. You know, this program is our promises, hope, promises, freedom. You know, our message is hope, and our promise is freedom, man. And I never was able to experience that. You know, that took on a range of rehabs and institutions. At 16, I signed out of school, man, and I went to the streets of New York. My role models were drug dealers, pimps, lesbians, homosexuals, the Pete shows, and that's the life that I began to dive in head first. You know, never understanding that, like, who's an addict? You know, my problem was, I didn't have a dad. Society doesn't understand me. My grandfather died on me. You know, I didn't know how to play sports. You know, all of these, like, reasons, man, that I use in this excuse to keep me in a denial, man, of accepting my condition. You know, it talks about in here, like, once we accept, it's nothing wrong with being an addict as long as we accept our condition and take positive action. Well, there was a moment of clarity, man, where I could get to that point where I could accept my condition and I could take positive action. You know what I mean? But the first part of this thing, man, I was never able to admit to myself. Because I just wasn't like you. You know what I mean? Addict? That sounded like, you know, some old detrimental, dangerous word. You know, and to my family, man, like, you were lowlife. And I continue, man, to go through the vicious cycle, man. I broke out in handcuffs, man. Like, my teenage life mostly I spent in Rikers Island, you know. And I thought that was a way of life. You know, I began to go in jail. I would do a crime, you know, petty crime, because I wasn't no gangster. I wasn't no tough guy. I was a petty thief. Most of my crimes was retail theft and stuff like that. You know, just ways and means to get another one. You know, and I continued to go to jail, and I would come out, and I would do the crime, and I would go back. You know, then I would go to treatment. You know, and this cycle just kept going on. You know, it says that we are forced to survive any way that we could, man. We manipulated people and tried to control everything around us. We lied, stole, and cheated and sold ourselves. And that became the way of my life, man. Like, I stole from my grandmother. I ate out of garbage cans. I remember living on the streets in abandoned houses, man. Cardboard boxes, washing up in the Port Authority, man. Riding the train all night. Like, as a result of using drugs, man, like, that's what my life consisted of. And even in all the stuff that was going on, man, like, I never could conceive the fact that it was simple that I was an addict and that drugs was the problem. You know, but drugs was a problem, man, to alleviate for me to, like, looking at me. Because I never felt adequate, and I always suffered from low self-esteem and self-hatred, man, from early on, way before I ever picked up a drug. The drug just amplified it. Because when I got them with the drug, I broke out an allergic reaction, man, and, like, hell broke loose. You know, destruction became a way of life. You know, it was no more fun. It became survival, you know, and I continued, man, to, like, go through this cycle, man. You know, I moved from certain places, man. I used to always say, like, the problem was if I got out of Newark, man, I could stay clean. And I left Newark, man, and I moved to Williamsport, and I got to Williamsport, and I always thought, you know, it talks about we was always looking for that certain person, place, or thing, man, and, like, to make us feel whole, man. And, like, I got to Williamsport, and I met this girl. And I figured, like, if I got in this relationship with this girl, man, like, my life was going to be fine. Like, all the problems was going to cease, you know what I'm saying? And, like, I was going to be a happy person. And what I found out, man, it was like I brought destruction and chaos into her life, those kids' life, and more importantly, into my life. You know, I was always looking to fill the void, man. And that went on for about 7 years, continuing going in and out, in and out. Then I moved to Harrisburg, PA, always taking me wherever I go. You know, it says most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life has been sending drugs in one form or another, defining winning ways and means to get more. That's most of us. You know, I never thought that way. I was introduced to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, man, and my problem was not drugs. My problem was me. And the fear of me looking at me kept me stuck. You know, denial, justification, and rationalization, man, was my characteristics that I ran with. You know, that was just what life was. And it wasn't until, man, like, I lost my grandma, I lost my wife, and reality kind of, like hit me in the face. You know, my clean date is August 11th, 2006. I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous in 1985. And through the peace, man, and, like, surrendering to the program, man, like, my life has gotten better. You know, first I had to stop. You know, I never had a problem with stopping, but I had a problem with staying stopped. And the only way that I know today, man, is, like, how I stay stopped, man, is that, like, I just don't use under no circumstances. You know, I go to meetings. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. I work the steps, and I try to practice program, man, to the best of my ability. My sponsor believes in simplicity. You know, simplicity is the key. Talking about a symbol, man, and, like, you know, that's how my life is today, and I'm talking about I got some freedom. You know, I accept the fact that I'm an addict, man, and I have a disease of addiction. You know, and that disease of addiction can be anything. Anything when life shows the inability, man, to accept personal responsibility, man, of my life, man, like, I create my own problems. And I'm talking about, like, I suffer from a disease, man, that, like, affects me threefold. You know, mentally, spiritually, and physically. And anytime life shows up and it don't show up the way I think it to show up and I choose to medicate, I cause chaos. You know, I cause destruction. You know, I get all those things back, man, that I had in my active addiction plus threefold. And I'm talking about clean. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I understand the fact, man, that, like, I have a disease. I understand there's nothing wrong with me being an addict. Like, just for today, I'm a recovering addict. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I try to hold on to that, man, to the best of my ability, man, because I'm talking about, man, my life, man, was, you know how the story go. I live to use and I use to live. My life was strictly about getting another one. It didn't matter how I got it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I went from, you know, a good kid going to school to a kid eating out of garbage cans and not washing for weeks and days. I always share about him and how my socks, man, was stuck to me and my drawers was brown skin from not washing. I'm talking about animal ballistic behaviors. And it was all about the drug, man, just trying to get another one. I was stuck. And it wasn't until, man, like, I accepted my condition, man, and I took some positive action, that I was able to get free. You know, says we always trapped in illusion of what if and of if only. And just one more time, I always would say, well, what if, man, like, if I would find the right person? What if I could get the right house? What if I could get the right job? If only I knew my dad. You know what I'm saying? If only I was able to, like, be normal like the other kids, man. Like, I wouldn't have this problem, man. And all of that, man, is a bunch of mess. Bottom line is, man, is that I'm an addict. And I suffer from a disease of addiction, man. And I also suffer from, man, like, self-imprisonment. The city committee that goes on in my head. You know, but, like, after being sick and tired of being sick and tired, man, like, I finally made an honest admission. My sponsor always tells me that, like, this program is about being spiritually refreshed and glad to be alive, man. And, like, our literature says, it doesn't matter, man, what you've done, who your connections were. We want to know what about your problem and how we can help. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't want to be, like, get into the war stories. I just want to, like, tell you, like, where my life is at today. You know what I'm saying? Like August 11th, man, like, I came in this process and I surrendered. I cannot use drugs successfully. I tried it. I was going to prove y'all wrong. And I got enough evidence, man, to know that, like, it just don't work that way. I surrendered to the program. I followed behind some predecessors that was here before me, man, and they found a new way of life. You know, and I started taking suggestions. I started going to meetings, man. They told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I think I did 90 and 90 on top of 90 and 90. You know, it was an old saying they used to say, change I must or die I will. And I got in touch with, man, and, like, I no longer, man, can live in the illusion that I can continue to do the same things that I was doing, man, and expect different results. As long as I don't pick it up, man, I don't have to ever worry about putting it down. You know what I'm saying? And it's like that's what I held on to. You know, I got a sponsor and I started working the steps. You know, and in that, man, like, I got some freedom. You know, I came out of dereliction. You know, I came out of destruction. And I started, like, becoming what this program teaches us to be. Learning how to be productive members of society. You know, and then just for the day, man, like, I'm employable. You know, I have a relationship with my parents today. People aren't locking the doors and pulling down the blinds anymore. You know, I walk down the street, man, and I don't even have to know people. And people look at me and they smile. Sometimes it blows my mind today, man, because I remember walking down the street and people was trying to get away from me. You know, and I owe it all to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I keep coming back. I understand that life will show up just the way life shows up. And it's up to me to be in a position to deal with it. How do I deal with it? If I go through feelings and emotions, whatever I go through, I call somebody and I talk about it. You know, I don't make no major decisions. I run it past somebody. You know, do I work a perfect program? No. You know what I mean? I come out of denial to think that, like, I'm perfect. I understand the acceptance piece, man, understands to me that I'm a human being. You know, and, like, I learned to make new mistakes today. I don't have to keep repeating the same ones. It's only through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man, that I have a life today. And I'm truly grateful. I'm in service. You know, I try to show up, man, like for the newcomer. You know, the newcomer is the most important person. I give back what's so freely given to me because it's only through God's grace in this program, man, that I stand here. Because if it's anything of my doing, man, like, I'd be 6 feet under. If I got what I deserve to get, I would get a casket. I'm talking about, like, I choose to be, man, a vessel of God's grace and mercy today. That don't mean that I'm perfect, man. That means that I'm supposed to, like, just be me and share my experience, strength, and hope. Carry the primary purpose. That's what this program is about, man. And how I learned from my sponsor. I learned from reading the book. I learned from recovering addicts, which is the ultimate weapon. You know, because I couldn't get no love from the boys on the block. I couldn't get no love from my cellies. I couldn't get no love for the cat that was at the crack table or was at the corner bar. You know what I mean? All they wanted from me was some money or another one. And after they got it, they was done with me. Today, I don't have to experience that. You know, I have people in my life, man, that truly care about me for what I'm trying to do in my life, man. And I owe it all to the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, back in my area, man, I always talk about, man, I love Narcotics Anonymous, and it took me a long time to get here, but forevermore, I'm ever truly grateful. I know that no addict needs to die of the horrors of addiction. I've seen a lot of people go. I stepped over a lot of bodies, man. And just for today, man, I don't choose for that to be me. You know, somebody prayed me up in here. That little prayer we say at our meetings, man, they prayed me up in here. Because I was the one that came through the revolving door. Always disqualifying myself. You know our common denominator, man, is the pain that we suffer from through this addiction, man. And it's truly, man, a gift. I like to say a gift. Because I didn't have to have it. Say this in closing, man, like, I got a situation that's going on in my life today, man, and I'm talking about, like, dealing with wreckage of the past, man. You know how we out there doing what we do, man. We think it's going to disappear. I don't know, for me, I think it's going to disappear. Got my life together. I'm doing good. So now everything that I did when I was caught up in active addiction, man, is going to be gone. And what I find out is that it's still there. But you know what? I'm talking about, like, I literally, it's somewhere in the literature, man, it says problems bring gifts. And I'm talking about, man, like, looking outside of myself. You know what I mean? Because my thinking is always distorted, man, and I need to run some things by some people, man, who have learned this new way of life, man. And, like, in my mind, man, I still want to say that, man, this stuff's supposed to disappear. But as part of being a productive member of society is that we take care of our wreckage. You know, so I do what I need to do. I put one foot in front of forward. I try to be honest to my best of my ability, man. And, like, I remove myself out of the way so a loving and caring presence can step in, a power greater than myself. And I get the help that I need. And I make the decision to try to stay out the way. Because I get in the way. All the time. Let me get a little moment of uncomfortability. And I'm all in the way, man. You know, but this program, man, has afforded me a life today. You know, I wake up in the morning, man, and, like, I remember where I was at last night. You know, I don't wake up in the morning and, like, have crud all over my teeth. You know, I don't wake up in the morning and hate to smell myself. I can remember waking up in the morning, man, I hate to smell myself. I don't do that today. You know, I take a bath today, man. You know, I'm talking about some little stuff. My sponsor always say, man, appreciate that little stuff. I don't worry about the big stuff because I know if I stay in this process, man, and I stay clean just for the day, a day at a time, and try to practice principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability, I'll get a life. You know, I was surviving. That's what my life consisted of. I wasn't living. I was surviving. You know, and today, man, I'm living. And it's only through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I understand that I'm an addict. You know, and just for the day, I'm a recovering addict. And it's good to be an addict. You know what I mean? I'm not crazy. more deficiency. I just had dilemmas that come up in my life, man, and like I need to have somebody help me to get through them. For so long, I thought I was crazy. I thought something was wrong with me. My mother said, you're never going to be nothing. You know what I'm saying? The teacher said, he's a thug. He's a bum. He's a queer. You understand what I'm saying? And like, I believe that. But this program affords me to know that I'm a miracle. They told me that we a miracle. They told me dreams arise in this thing. You know what I mean? And I had to hold on to that come high hell of water. Because I got a disease that wants me dead. It's cunning, baffling, and insidious. And it tell me some more crazy stuff, man. If I ain't in the right space, I'll run with it. Then I'll make a story of it. Then I find myself going wondering, damn, how you get there? You know, I don't know if you're new here. Welcome. You know, keep coming. Bridget says, never have we seen an addict follow this program. Use. You know what I'm saying? I want to send a warm welcome out if you're new here, man. Like, you never have to use again. It took me a long time to understand that I never had to use again. All I thought I was going to die using. And I finally found some freedom. And it's only through this program my sponsor people to believe in me when I ain't believing myself. When they told me it was all right you to be an addict today. Accept your dilemma. Take positive action. I'm talking about, man, life is good today, man. I don't have a whole lot of outside stuff. I know this is an internal thing, man. You know, my spirit is coming alive, man. Literally, in this chapter, it talks about, man, being physically and mentally and spiritually bankrupt. Today, I'm not bankrupt. Today, I got a little bit, some people, the other recovering addicts, my predecessors that put a deposit that has allowed my spirit to come alive. Because the same thing that somebody did for them, they did for me. Only way for me to keep it is give it away. If I keep coming in here and I keep stealing, I keep coming and think I'm doing something, man, I ain't going to stay here. This is a God-given spiritual program. And I'm talking about I love it. I don't like always what happens in it, but I love it, man. You know, since I came to the program and surrendered to the program in Narcotics Anonymous, my life has gotten better. And I just do simple stuff. I hope I gave a message, man. You know, my sponsor always tells me, if it's just to help one person, is your job is done. Because I like to stand up here and want to be profound and want to be, you know, the best speaker. You know, and all that stuff, man, is part of my disease. The ego, the false pride, and all of that, man. All I know is I'm a trusted servant here to carry the message of hope to other recovering addicts. You know what I mean? Same recovering addicts that carried the message of hope. They told me that it's about hope. And I promise it's freedom. Freedom from active addiction. Just for today, I never have to use again. And just for today, we, as a whole, never have to use again. I'm a recovering addict named Andre. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'm John, I'm an addict. I'd like to introduce the second speaker tonight, Charles V. from the By Any Means group, Narcotics Anonymous. So,
oh, I thought it was a microphone here.
It is. Okay.
I'm Charles V. I'm a recovering addict. Glad to be here. I glad you clapped too. That helped me, help some of the anxiety. I'm 58 years old. I had a 7-year-old son who was playing his first scrimmage football game tonight, and I didn't know that when I made the commitment to come here. And I had a lot of conflict about sticking to the commitment. But I'm committed to not picking up a drink or drug a day at a time, and I'm committed to carrying the message and I'm committed to giving it away to keep it. And my sponsor used to say, sometimes your family got to be second in order for them to be first. So, you know, I got to stay clean in order to be a father for my children, because if I pick up a drink or a drug, nobody else matters but myself. And you talking about, I can't wait to get back to my home group and tell them about Any Lengths, because we went to Any Lengths to get here, did we not, Jim? I mean, I haven't been on so many back roads in my life. But that's because I decided to take the scenic route. You know, now they gave me MapQuest and all that other stuff, but I want to take the scenic route because I ain't using. And since I ain't using, I can take in some scenes. But I just got to do it in a more timely fashion. You know, I got to give myself a little bit more time if I plan to sightsee, smell the roses, smell the coffee, so on and so forth. But I told Sarah and Brett, I said, the only reason why I'm coming up here tonight is because you asked me. And that's true. Because if you would have caught me when I was out there shooting dope, there ain't no way possible that you could have got me to do anything unless another shot was involved. Now, they told me to say something about who is an addict. And then the literature says, most of us already know. So, most of us don't have to ask that question. But for those of you who are might be here tonight who might have to ask that question, give yourself some time. Make it to some, if your probation officer got you here, or you trying to save your job or your marriage or some situation like that, and you're not so sure, give yourself a little bit of time. You know, listen to some of the stories in the room. I believe somebody probably might have told you to do a 90 and 90. And, you know, because I've seen people who come to the meeting and they were not at it. You know, and they got in trouble with the law, whatever the case may be. And I'm thinking of two people that I know for sure. One of them I work with left the fellowship 15, 16 years ago. And that person is doing well, working well, life is good. You know, that person just was sent there by the courts. And, you know, but I'm talking about people that are addicts. If you hear the story and you hear the message, you'll connect. Now, whether or not you accept it or go into denial is up to the individual. But I can only truly speak about me. I used to live, and I live to use. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I already said I'm 58 because I'm proud that I'm 58, because I'm not supposed to be here, because 2 years ago I had a heart attack and was dead. They had to bring me back to life, rush me to the hospital, put a defibrillator in my chest, and patted me on the ass and told me to get back to some meetings. So, you know. But I'm from Cleveland. I wound up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in 1975, running from an active addiction. You heard that story 1,000 times. You know, like, I'm going to leave Cleveland, leave the disease in Cleveland, and come to Harrisburg and start off fresh. You know, I don't know where to cop no dope in Harrisburg. So I'm going to be all right. See, a lot of people think it's as simple as just, I don't know where to cop. It ain't that simple, because I learned where to cop in 4 days. And I was back busy. Mad because the people that I was shooting dope with wanted to go home. I'm like, man, it's more dope. What you going home for? Uh, And I came here in I came there in 1975. I won't even speak about all of the turmoil and stuff that was going on in Ohio, where I'm from. You know, I grew up. I was one of the nice kids in the neighborhood. I was one of the kids that everybody wouldn't mind giving their money to go to the grocery store, let me cut their lawn and stuff like that. But I was a dope shooter waiting to happen because my insides were empty. You know, I came from a very dysfunctional family, like a lot of people's stories are. And as a result, you know, I sought comfort when I took my first drink, and eventually, which led me to narcotics. And so all of the mess that goes along with using narcotics, the stealing, the jail, the prison, the whole nine yards, all of that happened to me. And that was what I was running from. And I got here to Harrisburg and recreated the same scene. And I used drugs in Harrisburg for 7 more years until, by God's grace, I found, or the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous found me, however you want to phrase it. I got busted, and I was trying to beat the case by going to a rehab. And I went to a rehab, and they made me go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And I was at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and a guy said something about his life that helped me connect with my life, and the rest is history. That was April the 28th, 1982, and by God's grace, I have not picked up a drink or a drug since. Now, a whole lot of things have happened to me since. Lost my mother, lost my father, lost 2 marriages, lost my childhood best friend, lost 2 aunts, an uncle, 2 uncles, 3 uncles. So, I mean, lost a job, stuff like that. Heart attack, little everyday things that happen to people. But it didn't have nothing to do with picking up a drink or a drug. Narcotics Anonymous, like the brother before me, Andre, said, Narcotics Anonymous taught me that there's no excuse for me to pick up a drink or a drug. Narcotics Anonymous taught me that I could live one day at a time without picking up a drink or a drug. And I believe that. See, I fit into that category where most of us don't have to ask that question, because when I came into the fellowship, I was 33 years old, and I knew that I was a fake, phony, and a fraud. I knew it. That's why I never wanted to go home. Because that fake, phony, and fraud would be exposed when I would go home to my wife and kids. And I'm sitting up there, then shot up all the money in the house, then tried to duck from the police all day, trying to make it back to the house. I was a fake, phony, and a fraud, and I knew it. I was tired. Like Paul Newman was in Cool Hand Luke when they brought him back that last time. You know, I was beat. They took me into that Holy Spirit hospital, and I cried for about 5 days. I had packed so much guilt and so much rage and anger and stuff inside of me while I was doing those narcotics, because I did them for 10 straight years. And don't ask me why my higher power let it roll out like that, but I didn't take no breaks, no going to jail or none of that stuff. I just ran 10 solid years, and then it caught up with me. You know, and I cried like a baby. So when I heard that message, I knew that I was an addict. So that part wasn't difficult for me. You know, in my second year, So I think I had a fairly good job of working, of, oh my goodness, of working the acceptance part of the first step. I still, after all these years, haven't really got a good grip on the unmanageability part. You know, I might have 9 or 10 months of nice smooth sailing, and the next thing you know, 3 or 4 months of owing everybody in the city. I don't know. I mean, I know what that's all about, but I just haven't addressed it. But I certainly accepted the fact that I'm powerless over my disease. And I know that. I don't even play with that. I stay away from people, places, and things. I've stayed away from people, places, and things since my first day into this fellowship. My best childhood friend who moved here from Ohio with me so we could break the law together. When I came home from that Eagleville hospital, I told him what those people told me at Eagleville, that I had to tell the people who were toxic that I'm backing off. And I told him that. He didn't understand, because about 4 or 5 days later, he came over with some stuff. But I said, Joe, I'm serious about this. And then he, you know, being the friend that he was, went on about his business. And, you know, 10, 20 years later, he got clean, but he picked up and died in his active addiction in jail. So who is an addict? A man or a woman whose life is controlled by drugs? Well, my life was controlled by drugs. I remember they had a family reunion in 1980, and I used to envision myself, like in Chicago back in the old days, I don't know about now, but they used to have streetcars, and there was a wire, there was a wire on the back of the car, and it hooked up to a wire overhead, and that car didn't go it couldn't go no further than where that wire went. And I couldn't go no farther than where them dealers were. If it wasn't no drug action somewhere, I wasn't going. But it was a family reunion down in Virginia, and I had to go. And I was like, how in the hell I don't know where to cop no dope down there. And I told a couple of my buddies, and they said, well, you got to go to the doctor and get this, and this. You know, because I was going to be gone for 5 days, and that's what I did. I got my hands on some prescription shit to hold me over so I could pretend that I'm normal with them people that were supposedly normal. At least they wasn't controlled by a drink or a drug. They were standing around eating barbecue ribs and stuff, and I was sneaking in back in them trees doing what I had to do. But I got, like I said, I got clean in 82, and the second year, well, you know you're insane if you're gouging a needle in your vein all day long, not checking to see if it's AIDS in it, not checking to see if it's hepatitis C in it, not checking to see if it's poison in the little package that you open up. Don't know what the hell's in that package, but you're shooting it in your arms. It don't take no rocket science to know that that's insanity. So I accepted that too. I knew, and I was damn positive that I wasn't the one that brought me into the fellowship, because I was trying to figure out how I could just use on Friday and Saturday. I wasn't trying to quit. I just wanted to get it together where I could shoot a little bit on Friday night, do it all day Saturday, chill Sunday, and, you know, and be normal. You know, no. So I didn't bring myself into this fellowship, but in my first year, I worked the third step. I turned my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding, who is in the person of Jesus Christ for me. And people in my home group, they hear me say that the spiritual the spiritual blessings that I got from this recovery helps me make it through the day. And what I was going to say, and Brett and Sarah and Jimmy have heard me say this, it's like a car battery in a car. Now, the battery's job is only to start the car up. Once it starts the car up, it's supposed to turn the power over to the alternator. And then the alternator keeps everything running. But if the battery don't turn up the power over to the alternator, the battery ain't going to be no diehard. It's not going to last a week when it's supposed to last 48 months. And that's the same way I vision myself. If I don't turn my will and my life over to the care of my God, after I'm granted the grace of waking up, I can look forward to having a dead day. There ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it, because I took my will back that day. Then I want to know how come I'm tired, run down, irritable, impatient, angry. I didn't turn it over. Who is an addict? A person that don't turn it over. Self-centered person. Person think they can run things themselves. Person who don't have no gratitude, no humility. That's what I think an addict is. A recovering addict is a person that then turn that stuff over. I can't do this. Let me get with my sponsor and my friends in recovery and see if they can help me work this thing out. That's a little bit of humility. And I damn sure don't want to pin no medals on my chest because I went through Timbuktu to get here, because that ain't shit compared to what people have done for me in this fellowship. It is impossible to pay it back. Absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt, no way that I could possibly pay back what I got. All I can do is a little bit of something, as I can. But it ain't no paying nothing back. It's just, when I think in terms of payback, I'm thinking in terms of I loaned you $10 and you paid me the $10 back. Well, the debt that I got to Narcotics Anonymous, how I was dead. You're looking at a person that was dead to an active addiction, and then was restored to life. The brother Andre said, a miracle. So how you going to pay a miracle back? You know, them brothers that saved my life, I was on the tennis court. And I went to change the score and fell out. And then they read, one gave me mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, the other one was working on my chest, and the other guy ran outside to call the ENT people so that he could, when they got here, that he could lead them directly to where I was. So it was teamwork, and they said, well, we just saved you, Charlie, because we like beating your ass. I was like, well, at least you saved me. You know, I can't pay them back because I got a new appreciation of life through that experience. Can't pay them back, but I reevaluated some things. You know, that's just another chapter in my story up until the day that I leave here, and my goal is to leave clean and serene. That's my goal. My goal is to, a day at a time, leave this earth with some dignity. Andre said, I don't have to use again. And that's the way I would like for the final chapter to be written. You know, just because I would wish it to be that way don't mean nothing. I got to put some action into making that happen. If you are new, you know, I'm saying the same thing that you've heard before I ever said it. You know, regularly attend some meetings. What it says, only through regular attendance of meetings can a full understanding be attained, doesn't it? I don't hardly read the book, y'all, like I'm supposed to. But I hear it almost every day from somebody else reading it. When I got clean, there was no book. We had some of the people that helped write the book is my sponsor. And now here's that cockiness coming out. I hung around with the people that wrote the book. And why are you trying to make me read it? Because you're an addict, Charles. You're not unique. You need to do the same thing that everybody else needs to do in order to stay clean a day at a time. So knock that cockiness off. Okay, I will. Because I want to stay clean. I want to stay clean. I want to knock that cockiness off. When I came into the fellowship, I was 4 and 5 months clean, and I wanted to hang around with the people that had 10 years. I didn't want to hang around with, you know. When I was shooting dope, I didn't want to hang around people that was smoking reefer or, you know, man, Nate, get some real dope. You playing. Get you a needle in your hand. That's the stuff that I had to learn. And I had to learn it the hard way when I got into fellowship. I had to knock that foolishness off. I always thought I was not better than, but greater than, knew more than, were special. What's special about my ass? I was born on January the 1st, and I thought that was cool. Hey, I was born the first day of the year. I'm working on my 26th year. I had my ups and downs. My first marriage, which was, I got married in my active addiction, didn't work. It was very painful. The divorce was very painful. It knocked me to my knees. I was 7 years clean and had to go back into therapy. Because when I came into the fellowship, and by me hanging around with those people that had 10 years, I thought I didn't have to do the work. I heard you say that too, Andre, that, you know, the work that has to be done. So I was seven years clean and thought I had the message and was telling everybody what to do, but I wasn't doing shit for myself. And so that divorce, there's some people in here that play poker, and they know that when you play poker, sometimes you bluff. Well, that divorce exposed my hand, and they showed that I was bluffing. I hadn't given any
I hadn't done any serious fourth and fifth step work. This stuff ain't no joke, people. I hadn't did it was because of my commitment not to pick up a drink or a drug a day at a time, and my relationship with the God of my understanding that helped me make it through those times, because I thought I was going crazy. You can't let 7 years of undone work just come out all at once. That's not healthy. But by God's grace, I was fortunate enough to make it through that and to work on some of that stuff. And then that's when I really felt like I had started to recover. Because I had started working on that pus that was inside of me.
Pus. P-U-S. Is that
a real word? I don't know.
But that's what I, started to work it on. And I'm disappointed people can't see me.
Yeah, I got
it. I'm like, damn, man, I came all the way up here and ain't no light. But, I'm divorced 7, 8, 9 years. No, I'm just kidding. I'll get remarried. And I married a person who's not in recovery. Well, this person doesn't have a problem with chemicals, but everybody got problems. And us people who have problems with chemicals are fortunate, because jails, institutions, and death forced us to look at them, and now look where we are tonight, dancing and everything. You understand what I'm saying? We ain't. Can you imagine of all of us who are out there breaking the law tonight? Damn. What a hurt! We put a little hurting on society. This people up here, So I mean, but as sad to say, I had two boys out of that marriage, and the marriage is not working. We're not on the same page, and this breakup is not. I'm not suffering from the same magnitude as I was in the first one. Don't ask me why, or maybe it might pop out later. So, do you have this thing annually? Or maybe next year, this time, I'll be up here crying the blues. Who knows? But I just do this a day at a time. Isn't it wonderful to live life a day at a time instead of projecting, because I work around people who don't have this program, and although I'm not home free, and although my program's not perfect, but I do have a program, and I feel fortunate to have it. And I look at some people who don't, and it's only by the grace of God that it's not me. I don't judge them or anything, but I just say, damn, I'm glad I don't wrestle with that type of stuff today. I'm glad I don't wrestle with that type of stuff today. And I sponsor some guys. I have a sponsor. I got a home group. We spend time together. Everybody loves their support group. So there ain't no sense in me saying, well, the Cleveland Browns is better than the Eagles. Because that's just the way I feel. But the people that like the Eagles, they say the Eagles is better than the Browns. And but I do have the best support group in Narcotics Anonymous. You can take that to the bank. But that's the way I feel. I never... Now I'm getting ready to step on some toes, I think. But I never treated the fellowship like it was a lonely heart club. I never came looking for a woman. I never came to sell anything. I came to get a day clean. I have a lot of respect for Narcotics Anonymous.
and I try to show my respect through my actions. And there have been some women in Narcotics Anonymous that I wanted to rip their clothes off right there in the meeting. Damn, I'm talking about this stuff. I'm talking about perversions and stuff. But seriously, you know, but I don't do that. I respect the fellowship, you know. I know this is gonna get me in trouble, but y'all won't be able to catch me. I don't get up to go to the bathroom when I'm at a meeting. Unless there's no way possible for me to sit there without, but because I believe that everybody who speaks deserves the right to be heard. I think it's rude to do that. That's just me. My sponsor didn't teach me that. Nobody taught me. My grandmother and grandfather and my parents taught me that. As dysfunctional as my parents were, they did teach me stuff like manners and stuff like that. And that's just, trust me, that's just the way I carry myself. I don't even tell the guys that I sponsor that. The guy who, is that you, Jimmy? Jimmy rode up there with me. He's my right-hand man. I sponsored Jimmy and about five or six other guys. I 12-stepped Jimmy. How many years ago, Jimmy?
18.
I 12-stepped him 18 years ago. He was a kid sitting on a sidewalk, drunk as a skunk. And I love him to death. I love that man to death. He stays sober against all odds. Clean. Okay. He stays clean. Struggled in the beginning, but he just celebrated 18 years the other day. But I don't tell him not to get up and go to the bathroom because I'm not a control freak. I'm just saying that's the way I do it. I ain't got nothing else to say. I don't use the day. I'm in a melancholy state because I'm losing my second family, losing them physically, but not spiritually, or because I'm with my boys every day. But the sadness and the melancholy comes with the fact that we're a broken family, and that, you know, my boys have to go through some of the ramifications that kids from a broken home go through. Thanks for letting me share.